Ramsey TV.
All right, sweethearts, ladies and gentlemen, I know everybody's going through trials out there. I know it's rough out there. Sometimes it ain't so good here either, believe it or not. Yeah, that's right. So don't worry, we're not going to be on this planet much longer. We're getting off this CF. Yeah, so hang in there. It's just a matter of time now. You're going to look back and wish you had more trials when you see the glory we're coming into. Yeah, sorry about the camera situation. I got a little bit of noise that is, you know, pixels. Not quite as good as a picture. Not quite as good of a picture as I usually have because my Logitech camera isn't working today. I don't know why. It's one of those days. Maybe I dropped it too many times. Could be. Could be. But it's not working, so you have the onboard camera here, which is a little fuzzy, but hey, it's a new look, it's a new thing, so we're going to go with it. I was going to go back to Romans 11 today, but the passages, the verses that are coming up are extremely complex, and I'm just not up to it today. It has been one of those days, so instead I'm going to take you time traveling. This is a lot more interesting, believe me. I'm going to take you time traveling. I'm going to read three passages from Scripture. You will not know at first why I'm reading these passages. How is Martin Zender going to tie all these together? Well, you will see. You will see. I'm in Matthew 16, 28. Jesus speaking. Verily, I am saying to you that there are some of those standing here who will under no circumstances should be tasting death till they should be perceiving the Son of Mankind coming into his kingdom. And after 6 days, Jesus is taking aside Peter, James, John, his brother, bringing them up into a high mountain privately and was transformed in front of them. That's passage number one. Passage number two, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. I am acquainted with a man in Christ. This is Paul speaking. 14 years before this, whether in a body, I am not aware, or outside of the body, I am not aware, God is aware, such a one was snatched away to the third heaven. He was snatched away into paradise and hears ineffable declarations, which is not allowed a human to speak. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now I'm going to go to the unveiling of Jesus Christ, verse 9. I, John, your brother... I'm not looking at the right camera. I got to get rid of this camera because I keep looking at the wrong camera. I'm used to looking at my Logitech. Revelation 1, 9. I, John, your brother and joint participant in the affliction and kingdom and endurance in Jesus Christ, came to be in the island called Patmos because of the word of God and because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I came to be in spirit in the Lord's day. End of quote. In the Lord's day. What do these three passages have in common? I will tell you as soon as I take another sip of my Bushmills Irish whiskey. Two words. Time travel. Time travel. Jesus said to his disciples, there are some standing here who under no circumstances should be tasting death till they should be perceiving the Son of Mankind coming into his kingdom. Coming into his kingdom. When is he going to come into his kingdom? It's still future from where I'm sitting here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. It's still future. Not too long in the future, but it's still future. Probably... Well, I believe the kingdom comes in 2028, which is the year 6,000 years from Adam. We're in 5992 from Adam. So what happened next was Jesus took his disciples, Peter, James, and John, on a high mountain. He was transfigured before them. And who appeared with our Lord Jesus Christ but Moses and Elijah? I don't need to read the passage. You know it well. Moses and Elijah appeared next to Christ, and his face is transfigured. He's glorified. His garments are glowing. Everything's magical. He's full of glory, and so are Moses and Elijah. Many people use this verse to prove that Moses and Elijah are alive. There's no such thing as death. When Moses died, he didn't really die. He went on to the nether realms, and same with Elijah. People say, well, Elijah went up to heaven in a chariot. Yeah, and he came back down There's record later of a letter written by Elijah, so no worries there. So what the disciples are looking at is Jesus Christ coming in his kingdom. Jesus said it plainly what they would be seeing. They were seeing the future. No, they were looking at the future. They were looking at the future when Jesus Christ appears with a resurrected, who will then be resurrected, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah will be raised from the dead at the former resurrection, after the snatching away, before the official kingdom starts, after the tribulation. In fact, 75 days after Christ returns to the Mount of Olives, Moses and Elijah and the rest of the worthy saints in Israel will raise from the dead. And then Jesus will join them in the kingdom. He's going to drink premier wine with his disciples. And the disciples, three of those disciples, are looking at the future. They're looking at the future. They're not seeing the future projected onto a screen. They are seeing the future. They're seeing their Lord coming into his kingdom. And at that time, Moses and Elijah will be with him. That means that for Peter, James, and John at this Mount of Transfiguration, when they see this happen in the kingdom, it's going to be a deja vu. They're going to be standing there in the kingdom in 2020 or 2028 by our standards, or the year one in the kingdom, 6,001 years from Adam. They're going to be standing there seeing Moses and Elijah with a glorified Christ. And they're going to look at each other and say, deja freaking vu. Why? Because they already saw that very thing. They didn't see a facsimile of it. They saw it. Do you understand? They saw it. And now they're seeing it again, this time as it plays out in real time. They saw a preview. It was a vision of the future. Talk about time travel. Speaking of vision. So at the time, let me remind you before I go on, Moses and Elijah are dead. They're dead at the time of the vision. But this is the time of the vision in real time is as they're standing there. But the vision is of the future when Moses and Elijah are alive. So that event will happen as the disciples were watching it. Because Jesus said that was him coming into his kingdom, coming in his kingdom. Speaking of vision, let's jump ahead to Revelation. I, John, your brother and participant in the affliction, I came to be in spirit in the Lord's day. Verse 9, Revelation 1. I came to be in, it might be verse 10. You can't tell in the Concordant version because of the screwy way they have the verses numbered. Sorry. It's one of those days. Came to be in the Lord's day. John did not see the future. Oh, no. It's crazier than that. He went into the future. John went into the future. I came to be in the Lord's. I'm just reading the scriptures. I came to be in the Lord's day. And he's not seeing the future. He's in the future. And as I've said before, I said this during the Revelation series, what startles me about this is that John, whether in a body or out of body, he doesn't know. Paul doesn't know either. These people are freaking ignorant about how they get to the future, whether they're actually there in their body or if they're only in there in spirit. That is, if it's some kind of a mind trip, some kind of matrix thing where their body's laying inert and their mind is going into it, or if their body is going with their mind into the future, they don't know. They're not made aware of that. I guess they're just going into the future. It's the future. That's all I know. So John, in the future, in the Lord's day, which is still future, yeah, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul says talks about the Lord's day, talking about it as a future event. And I sit here at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. It is a future event. The Lord's day begins with the tribulation and it continues on into the thousand-year kingdom. I came to be in that day. John was breathing the air of a cosmos and of an eon where we are already perfected with Christ. We are already perfected in Christ. So John is seeing God. John is in, no, not seeing. God, John is in a time where we are already perfected. So it's like John's seeing things. No, I keep saying that. It's not true. John's not seeing things. He's in the Lord's. He is seeing things, but I don't want you to get the idea that he's seeing into the future. No, he is in the future, seeing things in the future. And so, but he's concentrating on the things of Israel. He's concentrating on the seven lampstands, the seven ecclesias, same thing. And getting all this revelation concerning the earth, the earth, the earth. Even later, he goes to the new earth. He doesn't go into the heavens, earth, earth, earth. This is this is me. If John had looked over to the left, which he didn't do because he wasn't given permission. If he had looked over to the left, he sees the body of Christ completed and perfected, because where he was, we have already been perfected, and we are talking with each other about the snatching away only in the past tense. Can you believe that? In the past tense. One day soon, we will be talking about the snatching away in the past tense. Remember when we were snatched away? Oh, that was a great feeling. Speaking of the snatching away, Paul, I'm acquainted with a man in Christ 14 years before this. And by the way, 14 years before he writes this, he was in Lystra getting stoned by the kind Judaizers there, who were jealous of Paul talking to the nations. They thought he was blaspheming, talking about being justified by faith apart from works and law, apart from works of law. So they threw large rocks at the man. Not very nice. He's leveled. He's halfway between life and death. And it's probably at that time that Christ takes him. He doesn't know, once again, I don't know if it's in a body or out of a body. He goes to the third heaven, and he sees things that are unlawful for him to speak. What does he see? Well, we have to conjecture. I'm pretty good at it. I can do it. I have an educated guess, and this is what it is. Well, first, I tell you this. I'm going to end the show by telling you what I believe Paul saw in the third heaven. John goes to the third earth. Paul goes to the third heaven. It's not the third heaven in space, like, boom, you are now in heaven one. Boom, you have now ascended to heaven two. Bing, welcome to heaven. No, it's not. It's the third heaven in time. In time. There are three earths and three heavens during the Aeonian times. Don't want to go into that now. It's a sidetrack. Don't want this to be a long show. So Paul's in the third heaven, where we are going to be seated among the celestials in Christ, Ephesians chapter 2. And what does he see? I can only give you an educated guess. This is what I believe he saw. Oh, but what he saw was so great, so magnificent, so transcendent, so transcendently transcendent, that he had to come back, unfortunate for him, and be afflicted with a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him because of the height, the transcendence of the revelation. It was so great what he saw. This is what I believe he saw. I believe the Apostle Paul saw the body of Christ completed. I think he saw where all this is going to end up. I think he saw us perfected. All of this. I think the Apostle Paul has already seen you and me. He's literally already seen us perfected in Christ. It's that real. And we're down here thinking, oh, this is a thing of faith. Oh, I hope this happens. No, some people have already seen it. John already breathed the air where we're in the celestials. Paul already looked at the body of Christ completed, which includes you and me and himself. Do you remember that moment in Back to the Future where Marty McFly, I don't remember which episode this was, but he sees himself in the future. The Marty McFly of the past sees the McFly of the future, and he freaks out. He almost passes out because he sees himself. The Apostle Paul saw himself. This is me, Martin Zender, giving you an educated guess. He saw himself glorified. He saw us glorified. He saw the body of Christ completed. He saw Christ completed, because Christ is the head. He's without a body right now. And it so overwhelmed him, the glory of it, the exalted position that he had. And among the body of Christ, he has the most exalted position in the body of Christ. There are those of the head, which includes the eye, there's the mouth, there's the ears, there's the rest of the body. Everybody fills their place. Paul is the exalted head besides Christ, second only to Christ. Paul is in the head, part of the head of the body. Christ is the head, but there's parts of the head. There's the eye, everything, okay? The human body is an analogy. I'm just giving an analogy, the analogy Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul saw himself completed, and he saw you and me. He literally looked at us. Then he had to come back. He not only saw us, but he saw his friends in Rome, his friends in Corinth, his friends in Philippi, his friends in Ephesus, his friends in Galatia, all the members of us, friends in Thessalonica. And it was so great, so glorious that he would come back to earth just like totally doing this, like, yes! Be rocky every day. But he was given a thorn in flesh to buffet him, to keep him humble. That's what we're coming into. It's not like, ooh, this might happen. No, this already has happened. This already has happened. If you would ask John or Paul. Ask Moses and Elijah for that matter, because while they're standing there coming into the kingdom with Jesus Christ, we are above at that same time, reveling in the coming of Christ on the earth and the saints of Israel, the worthy saints of Israel, coming forth in resurrection. Of course, our resurrection occurs before that. But you wonder if this thing will happen? This thing has to happen, because according to a couple people who wrote the scriptures under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it already has happened.